Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back with you.
Always good to be back, and these weeks go by really fast.
Yes, they do.
So here we are on Sunday night again, and we've been doing a series on the cross because it's the center of salvation history, and it's the only mechanism of salvation. And
yes, it is.
I don't know how many shows we've done now. I always ask you that.
At least
seven or
eight.
At least it's eight. And so we're going to do this one, and then next week we're going to kind of wrap it up because Stephen and I both feel that the Lord led us to do this series because it's a very important topic in today's society where, as we've said before, the gospel's been hijacked into be nice to everyone and try to do the best you can and everybody's okay and don't worry. And we've been trying to get back to the basics of the good news, and I hope you've listened to it. If you haven't listened to it, if you go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, and go under the radio show column, you can hear all the shows. They're there up to last week's.
Yes.
And you can kind of hear in your spare time what we've been talking about. So today we're going to go through another scriptural-based study, and then next week we're going to kind of wrap things up based on the other, I guess, eight shows by that time that we've done. And maybe we'll put together a set of CDs and
make it affordable.
Sell them for an exorbitant amount of money.
Oh, geez.
No, it'll probably not be any money. But anyway, but it's such an important topic, and we finished off last week because we've been using Paul's writings, and we're going to continue with that today through most of the show. But we've been using Paul's writings, and we ended up last time with Philippians 3, which is one of my favorite passages, favorite sections, where, you know, Paul says everything else is loss compared to knowing Christ, and everything else is rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we ended up. And we talked before that about how Paul always talked about, I only preach Christ and Christ crucified, and that's all I want to know, and that's all I want to talk about. And now in this passage from Philippians 3, he points out how everything is irrelevant compared to that, compared to knowing Christ and understanding the cross. Everything else he did before, anything else we do before, is irrelevant.
Right.
And by this time, Paul was very much aware that the law couldn't do that for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was past being the law guy. And he adds that he has no righteousness of his own, mm-hmm. but that which comes from Christ. So this is a dramatic change for Paul, who was, of course, the Pharisee and the zealot for the law.
The zealot, Saul of Tarsus.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a pretty dramatic transformation, as we've commented on, and was totally transformed into understanding the cross and just preaching it wherever he went.
Yeah.
Without, like, as we've said, without human eloquence, mm-hmm. without, you know, his own wisdom,
mm-hmm.
but in the power of God.
Yes.
That it wouldn't diminish from the cross, it wouldn't take away from the message of the cross, nor would anybody think that their salvation was somehow from him,
mm-hmm.
but it's only in the cross, only through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he preached the same message, whether he was talking to the really intelligent Greek philosophers, or he was talking to uneducated people that were sitting mm-hmm. around in a town square somewhere, he preached the same message to
right.
all of them. And we pointed out that he was kind of a odd-looking guy with an annoying voice, and he would show up and
yeah, we mentioned that
preach.
A few times.
Yeah, a few times, and some people would get aggravated and say, man, we're sick of this guy. And some people would listen to him and be converted.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through the whole known Roman, Greco-Roman world just preaching Christ and the cross,
mm-hmm.
because now he realized that the law couldn't do this. His righteousness didn't come from the law.
Right.
And that condemned fallen sinners had all that they needed in this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, mm-hmm. and that this was how right. salvation would be realized. And that he said, as we've said many times, he always said no one was more zealous for the law than him. He lived very rigorously with the law, down to persecuting believers for some period of time. And we know about that because it's well documented in the book of Acts, and mm-hmm. right down to holding everybody's coat as they killed Stephen.
Right.
Not this Stephen, but the other one.
Yeah. And thanks for pointing that out.
Or else he wouldn't be on the radio.
Exactly.
But anyway, his transformation was such now that he realizes that he couldn't be righteous by doing the law, that the law didn't have the remedy for what his problem was, and that right. the law couldn't change his life other right. than make him a slave to the law.
Right.
And so this is why he preached this and this only. He never went anywhere and preached the law. And as we're going to see, he confronted these people called the Judaizers, mm-hmm. who said, well, if you Gentiles want to follow Jesus, Yeshua, that's great, but here's what you got to do first.
Right.
And you literally have to become a Jew first before you can become a Jewish believer.
Right. Or before you can be saved.
Before you can be saved.
Right.
And Paul had no patience with that whatsoever.
No, not very much. Well, you bring up a good point, because even in our culture today, there's differences of opinions as far as, you know, Jews and Gentiles, who's in the kingdom, who's not in the kingdom. Are you an adopted son or daughter of God? And the answer is yes, because God gives his spirit to whom he wills. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give his spirit partially. He doesn't say, well, to Phil, I'm going to give 25%, but Steve, I'm going to give 50%. Because he likes me more than you.
I knew it.
Well, no, the good news is...
Because then you'd be boasting.
Then I'd be boasting. I'd say, Phil, I got 50% of the spirit. You only got 25%, so God loves me more. That would be erroneous. I'd be deluded. God gives the spirit 100%.
Yeah.
And it's really up to us as to how much we allow God to take possession of our lives, mm-hmm. and cooperate with his grace. Mm-hmm. It's really up to us, because he always gives us free will. He never takes that away from us.
Right.
And so if God, and scripture points out, God says, you know, he's going to pour out his spirit upon whom he wills. And obviously the spirit is the gift of the Father that Jesus told his disciples to stay here and wait for, mm-hmm. At the feast, before the feast of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit wouldn't have come if Jesus hadn't died on the cross and rose from the dead.
Right. And then Jesus himself said, if he doesn't go back, the Spirit can't come.
Right. And so, you know, it's through the cross that we have salvation, that Jesus pays the debt for our sin, and we can stand before God and call him Daddy, mm-hmm. call him Abba, mm-hmm. Father, and our debt is paid. So, you know, in Ephesians, you know, we're one new man, a Messiah, mm-hmm. Jew and Gentile,
yeah,
Greek.
Yeah, doesn't matter what you are.
Doesn't matter what you are.
And this is why we've been doing this series.
Yeah, because the salvation of the cross is for all mankind. And it's not, you know, partially for some and partially for another and 100% for this other group. It's for all.
Yes.
All we have to do is receive it.
Yeah. And I hope you got two out of this series, that Gentiles, as people who are outside of the covenant, you know, Paul calls them the uncircumcision, mm-hmm. outside of the covenant, weren't God's covenant people,
right.
are now coming into the kingdom.
Right.
And we talked about how Paul and John heard that, you know, Samaritans were accepting Jesus. And they were like, what is going on up there?
Right.
And that's better go check it out.
It's a good point to bring up. It's not to say that what's in scripture isn't accurate, mm-hmm. because it is. In the day and age of Jesus, there were two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles, mm-hmm. as we've pointed out before. And as you just said, in the old covenant, the Gentiles were not chosen by God. Mm-hmm. But in the new covenant, the covenant ratified in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, Jew and Gentile are both welcome into the covenant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what was hard for even the Jewish believers at the time to understand.
Yes.
Yeah. But then to really emphasize how Paul thinks about this, Steve, why don't you read, do you have Colossians 2 handy?
Colossians 2.
How about verse 16 and 17?
Let no one, then, pass judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or new moon or Sabbath. These are shadows of things to come. The reality belongs to Christ.
Mm. So this is Paul, the Pharisee, talking. Now, do you think Paul, or I should say, do you think Saul of Tarsus, I mean, he's the same person, do you think Saul of Tarsus would ever have missed a Sabbath service?
No.
No. Do you think he would have ever eaten something he wasn't supposed to eat?
No.
No. Do you think he would have ever hung out with Gentiles and said,
No.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
No.
He wouldn't have done any of that. So basically, he says these things were shadows of things to come. He says, of which the substance is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the writer to the Hebrews says the same thing. These things were types and shadows. Christ is the substance. So when you have the substance, you don't want to go back and emphasize the types and the shadows.
Right.
And in other words, in this passage too, Paul's saying, you don't want to take the yoke of the law back on yourself when through the cross, Christ has taken the yoke off of you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go back and say, well, I think I'm going to put that yoke back on now.
Right.
And I think I better go back and not do this and do this and do the other thing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that those things were bad. It's not to say, like we talked about when we did Romans, that's not to say that these things were evil, but these were types and shadows of what was going to come. And now we have the substance.
Exactly.
And this was very important for Paul to talk about, because we're gonna skip to the book of Galatians now, where there's people there in this church that are being, I don't want to say tormented, but are being affected by these people called Judaizers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Judaizers were Jews who were believers, but they were still sort of stuck that you had to do the law.
Right.
And if, actually, Steve, since we're on a roll, we're going to Galatians chapter 1. Why don't you read 3 through 9?
3 through 9? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from the present evil age in accord with the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly forsaking the one who called you by grace for a different gospel. Not that there is another, but there are some who are disturbing you and wish to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let that one be accursed.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here. So Paul's talking to the church in Galatia. This is the beginning of the letter. So first, he gives this apostolic blessing, you know, grace and peace to you guys through Jesus. You know, not through anything else, the grace and peace through Jesus, because first you get grace and then you get peace. If you don't have grace, you can't have peace.
That is true.
The law doesn't really give you peace, because once you've done okay for an hour, you got to worry about how you're going to do the next hour, or you got to worry about how you're going to do tomorrow. So you're always concerned about how you're doing. So without the comfort of grace, you can't really have this peace. So he says here that Christ submitted himself to this sacrifice to make the atonement. So, of course, the whole gist of what we've been talking about for, I guess, 8 weeks is that he submitted for our sake. Like you always, you know, you always like to say, this is all done out of love. Love does all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So for our sake, he submits to this horrible sacrifice, this horrible ordeal. And according to what Paul's saying here, he, being Jesus, redeems us from the law, from sin, and from the corruption of this world. So in other words, you're a new creature now. Right. You're not like sloshing around in the old corruption of the world like you were before.
Right.
You're not sloshing around in the old sin nature that you had before. That doesn't mean that you're not going to ever sin, but it means you're delivered from all that. You're a different person now, right, just like he was. And this redemption even is from this law that he sets you free from, because mm-hmm. now you don't have to measure your righteousness based on how well you do with the law.
Exactly.
So what he's saying here is that the world system is fallen, it's difficult, it's evil, it's, you know, dirty, kind of mm-hmm. like a mud pit. You kind of slosh it around in the mud. You know, just
it's a good
kind of see this yeah. in my mind, you know, if you're kind of slosh. You know, a lot of people that are in the world and are not, you know, believers or not Christians of any kind, you know, they look nice and they're cool and they got nice stuff, but they're basically sloshing around in a mud pit. This is all a part of the fallen world, but the cross delivers us from all that.
Right.
Because that's not where our citizenship is. And, you know, he talks about the will of the Father, because this is the plan of salvation. So even though Paul has preached to these people and they've accepted the gospel, now he says, I can't believe it. I've been gone for a day and you guys are already doing something different. Like, what's the matter with you guys? Later on, he's going to call them foolish Galatians. He's shocked that they've turned away. He says, you're turning away from this gospel that I brought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we already talked about what gospel did he bring. All Paul talked about was Christ and him crucified. That's all he wanted to know. That's all he taught. So he taught them that they had justification and reconciliation because of this. They had freedom because of this. And because of the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus purchases this through his own blood.
Right.
And now they were starting to slide back to, well, maybe we better do some more of this law stuff
mm-hmm.
in a short amount of time. So even in the short amount of time that Paul was there, left, and writes this letter, the gospel was already being corrupted. He says, you're going to another gospel, which isn't a gospel at all.
Mm, exactly.
So you've taken the pure gospel, and now you're starting to add things to it.
Right. I mean, Paul understood, and again, Paul understood that in and of itself, the works that he did because he had died to the law, to live for the law for God, he knew that didn't earn him salvation.
Right.
And he couldn't boast of his own righteousness anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Because he would always say, you know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, I was advancing more than any of them. So he could boast in that.
That's right.
In the old order.
Exactly. That's what he had to boast on.
Yeah.
And he says, now you're mingling that with the gospel that I already told you. Remember, he prides himself. Well, I shouldn't, pride's not a good word. He describes himself as saying, all I preach is Christ and Christ crucified. So now they're starting to pervert this
mm-hmm.
and go to another type of gospel, which isn't a gospel at all.
Right.
Because they're being influenced by these people that later he's going to call Judaizers, because now these people are moving toward another kind of justification than the pure grace of the cross. Oh, wow, it's the first break already. Oh, we're going to listen to this. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a link there to some podcasts and a lot of teachings as well. We'll be back in just a minute.
At the your face, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Praise Him, hallelujah, Elohim. Come to reign forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lift your head, O Zion, open wide your ancient doors, and cry,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is. Who sings that, by
That's
the way?
That's Paul Wilbur. So go to WilburMinistries.com and just Paul order everything. Wilbur.
I've heard of him before.
Yeah. I think you've had spent some time with him, too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So here's Paul. You know, he's shocked that these Galatians are turning away, and in our world, things are much worse. You know, if you were typing it, you'd write much with all capital letters. Mm-hmm. Because now, you know, the prevailing view of everyone, and the main reason that we're doing this whole series, is that there's all kind of different paths that lead to the same place.
Yes.
And as long as you're sincere about your path, you're going to end up in the same place. So whether you're going up this part of the mountain, that part of the mountain, the back of the mountain, the side of the mountain, whether you got a straight road or a zigzag road, everybody's going to the same place.
Yeah, strangely, all paths lead to salvation except right. The cross nowadays.
That's right. That's a good point. That seems, you know, like we were talking about a couple of shows ago that, you know, Paul says it's an offense and it's nonsense to those that are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
So those that are perishing out there says, you know, that's nuts what you guys think.
Yeah.
That can't possibly be true.
Yeah, it's very prevalent today in our culture.
And so, you know, this is way worse than what the Judaizers were doing. And all these different paths now, even within the church, we've seen this happen, where people within the church say, well, you know, who are we to say? Everybody's okay. Everybody's nice. Everything's good. You know, as long as you're nice to everyone and you do the social gospel, if you're helping people, and you should help people and you should be nice, mm-hmm. and as long as you, you know, think about poor people and you should think about them and you should help them,
well,
that's what it's concentrated on now.
Yeah, you're bringing up a really good subject matter, because even in our churches today, like you said, there's many people of faith
mm-hmm.
who don't believe that it's their responsibility to share the gospel
right.
with someone else.
Yes.
And that is a great travesty in the church.
Yes.
It impedes you're not telling someone the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we need to share the truth in love, but the message that we have to spread is eternal life for them.
Yes.
You know, it's much more important than a Google app or, a TV show or your favorite, song on the radio or anything like that. Where, I see all these posts on Facebook about all these crazy things. It's absolutely ridiculous. we post about this and that, and no offense to anybody on Facebook, but I know a lot of people are on Facebook, but
I always post listen to the radio show. But.
I know you do. But compared to the message of salvation,
yeah,
it is. We spend a lot of time talking about a lot of things that don't really matter
mm-hmm.
to a lot of people, where we don't even know if they believe.
Yes.
And we take for granted, just because they're sitting in the pew next to us, that mm-hmm. they have a relationship with Jesus Christ and they know that he's their Lord and Savior. I've spoken to people in the church that scoff at the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They're there in the church and they go, I don't believe all that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't?
Then what are you doing here?
glad they are.
Yeah.
Glad I'm having the conversation with them.
Yeah.
But it's astounding sometimes that you get into a conversation with someone in the church and they're on such a different path and a different place in their walk with the Lord. You can't assume that the person sitting next to you
mm-hmm. yeah.
is where you're at.
That's right.
And Paul, if Paul was alive today, he'd probably be getting thrown out of churches left and right for preaching
yeah.
the message that he's
yeah.
preaching.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, he's a weird-looking dude with an annoying voice.
With an annoying voice. All he wants to do is talk about the cross.
Yeah.
So all he would be, he would be getting like...
yeah. Come on, we want to talk about the church picnic here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. They wouldn't let him in.
They would not let him in. I mean, can you imagine Paul coming in and saying, can I preach at your church today?
Yeah.
No. Nah, your message is too harsh, buddy. You got to tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
You're too judgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads into the next passage that I was going to use, which is in Galatians 1 also, but it's verses 10, 11, and 12. Why don't you just read that, since you gave a good segue into it?
Galatians 1, 10, 11, and 12. Let's see here. Am I now currying favor with human beings or God? Or am I seeking to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ. Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human being, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah. Paul got the gospel full blown.
Yeah.
Full blown. We didn't get it quite like that, mm-hmm. although some of you may have. But, this leads right into what you're saying. Am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God?
Mm-hmm.
If I was still trying to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ.
Right.
The Greek term doulos, which is a bondservant. It's not quite a slave, but it's almost a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not interested in pleasing men, because he points out in the next verse that this gospel, when he got the gospel, he didn't get it from men.
Right.
He got it through a revelation. So going back to what he writes in Philippians 3, all that other stuff he did before, he counts as loss. He counts as rubbish. We talked about how the Greek word actually means manure or dung.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't care what people think. He's going to preach the gospel. if he did come to a church and the church said, hey, listen, you know, I don't think we want you preaching here because this is just, this is not like what we do here, he would just tell them exactly what he thought, because he's not there to please men. He calls himself a bondservant, a doulos. And he said, like we've said 18 times, he wants to preach only about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He's not concerned about what people are going to think of it. This is not focused on him. He's focused on the cross of Christ to preach. And that's all he wants to know, and that's all he wants to preach. And you see how he's so involved in doing this that he goes through all these hardships.
Right.
He gets stoned. He gets whipped. He gets shipwrecked. He gets left for dead places. But he's willing to do it.
Right. And, you know, he calls himself a bondservant or a slave. And in our culture, do we really understand in his time what a bondservant was, what a slave was? And was there any way out for a slave?
No.
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 Yeah, you had to wait for the Jubilee year.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the Gentile world where he was writing this, they didn't have a Jubilee year. Once you were a slave, you were a slave.
You were a slave.
Unless somebody bought you and then set you free, which he also talks about how Christ redeems us. Mm-hmm. And the word that's used there means it's the price of buying a slave.
Right. So they would have understood well when he says, I would not be a slave of Christ, or I would not be a bondservant of Christ. They understood well what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, slavery was very, very common at this
time.
The Greeks had slaves. The Romans had slaves. There were slaves in the Holy Land. I mean, there were slaves everywhere.
Right. And so in our day and age where, you know, we don't, well, slavery is abolished, but, you know, it's something that I don't think we have. Well, we have an understanding of it, but in Paul's time, this was widely, you know, just widely accepted that you had slaves.
Sure. They did all the work.
They did all the work. Exactly. Now they're called workers.
Oh, yeah.
But
and you have to pay them.
And you've got to pay them.
But, and give them health insurance.
Yeah, exactly. So as he's talking about this, he's telling them, you know, he's really putting himself at the lowest point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
At the lowest point of civilization
mm-hmm.
in a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And here he was, a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yes.
But he's putting himself at the lowest place
mm-hmm.
to exalt Christ, that he is not, you know, the focus of mm-hmm. the message.
Yes.
But Christ is the focus of the message. Mm-hmm. The cross is the focus of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the messenger.
Yes. That's an excellent point. The message is not about him. As we were talking last show, we're imperfect messengers with a perfect message. The message is not about us.
And, you know, he says he got it through a revelation from Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
right from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, on that road to Damascus.
Yes. So based on that experience, and again, I always refer you back to Philippians 3, all that is lost compared to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think that way, you don't particularly care what people around you are going to say when you're preaching the gospel.
Right.
Because if you've given your life to this, if you've become a doulos, you know, you don't care what Joe Blow over there is going to say when you tell him what the gospel is.
Well, you think of Paul's stature.
Yeah.
I mean, he had everything as a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's all loss.
All loss.
Mm-hmm. He counts it all as loss.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to know Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
I want to preach Christ and him crucified.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point of he's out in the lowest places doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, he preaches, you know, to the Pharisees and them too when he goes back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But he's mostly out in the countryside.
They give him a hard time though.
Yeah. He's mostly out doing it among common people. And because this came as a revelation and didn't come from men, he takes this way more seriously. He's way more zealous because he feels that now when Jesus says to him, when Jesus says that he's his chosen vessel to the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
you know, Paul understands that this is what his commission is.
Right.
He says, the Lord wants me to preach to the Gentiles. So this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And he still obeys and goes to the Jew first and then the Gentile. But he knows that his mission is to the Gentiles, and he's going to obey that commission, and whether they stone him or whether he's shipwrecked or whether he doesn't have anything to eat or whether he doesn't have a place to stay for the night, and he gets to the Holiday Inn Express and the place is full, or he gets to Denny's and it's closed. Oh, no, they don't ever close. But anyway, he'll do whatever.
Not even back then?
No, not even back then. They were open all the time.
24 hours.
Yeah. Well, maybe they closed for the High Holy Days.
let's hope so.
But anyway, so he's promoting God's glory in this plan of salvation. So when these Judaizers show up and they're kind of changing Paul's original teaching, mm-hmm. Paul's original preaching, he goes nuts. He's not going to sit down with people and say, well, I see your point, so let's compromise on this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't compromise on this. He says, I've been preaching the pure gospel. You guys are trying to ruin it.
Yeah.
And this really proves that not only is he a doulos, but he's a true apostle. You know, the apostles that went out and preached never compromised on the message.
Right.
Peter and all those other guys, they never said, oh, yeah, okay, I see what you mean. So maybe actually we should maybe change this a little bit.
You know, if we look back in the scriptures when people turned and walked away from what Jesus was teaching.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, wait, you know, let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if we understand the covenant is ordained by God. Mm-hmm. The terms and conditions of a covenant, they're not negotiable.
That's right. That's right. You don't negotiate with God.
Right. God sets the terms of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rules of the covenant, the law of the covenant, mm-hmm. and this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood well in the Old Testament that you just didn't turn away from what God gave you and just walk away from you're walking away from a bargaining table. You either accepted it or you died.
That's right. Exactly.
And Paul would have understood this.
That's right.
Everybody in that time would have understood this.
That's right. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life.
Right.
Because if you'd say, I'm turning away from the law, I'm not doing all the stuff, you're choosing death.
Right. So, you know, if you look at Paul, he understood that. He chose the law to choose life.
Exactly.
Now, he has his revelation through Jesus Christ because he was personally, you know, if we read Galatians 1, 13, for you heard of my former way of life in Judaism, yeah. how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it
mm-hmm.
and progressed in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. Mm-hmm. He understood all that.
Yeah. He kind of gave his resume again.
Yeah.
And he shows, well, now I'm transformed.
So I'm sure that people knew who he was
mm-hmm.
because obviously if you look back in the Acts of the Apostles, when he converted and they were,
yeah.
told to go to him, they're like, I don't think so. Maybe we ought to wait and see what this guy's really about.
Even when he went back to Jerusalem, none of the apostles wanted to go see him. Not them. We're not going over there.
No.
And he's not allowed in our meeting either.
You know, for fear of, rightly so, yeah. they probably feared it was a trap.
Yeah, that's right. So he points out what his past was in Judaism. But you see, now he's a true apostle. Mm-hmm. And like he says many times, he's not only doing this because he was commissioned, but the point of the whole commissioning was he wants people to be saved.
Exactly.
He wants people to experience this gospel and to be saved. And he says, I can't remember now off the top of my head where it is, but he says, to the Jew, I'm a Jew. To the Greek, I'm a Greek. I become all things to all people in order to save some.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll sit down with whoever it is, and whether they're having coffee together or dinner together or just sitting around in the town square together, he's preaching the gospel.
Right.
So that some may be saved. And so he really confronts these people that have been influenced by the Judaizers by saying what his past was and what he's doing now. Which leads us to Galatians 2.
Galatians 2.
Yeah, where he talks pretty much directly to the Judaizers about 14, 15, and 16.
But when I saw that they were not on the right road in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in front of all.
And that's Peter.
Right? If you, though a Jew, are living like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?
No.
We who are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, yet who knew that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified.
Hmm. So this is where, you know, says, I was in Peter's face at Antioch. So he says, we were trying to be justified by the law, but it's not by works of the law that mm-hmm. we're being saved, because no flesh is going to be justified by that, because flesh can't keep the law. We talked about that in Romans, where Paul says, because of the weakness of flesh, the law can't work. It's not that the law's bad.
Right.
It's that flesh is weak.
Right.
If we had perfect, strong flesh and perfect, strong minds and could keep the law, then that would be great. But he's saying, you're not justified by the law. You're justified by this. So Peter, Cephas, whatever you want to call yourself, Simon, he's got a lot of names.
Mm.
You know, why are you trying to compel Gentiles to live as Jews when you're being saved by grace and not by law? Right. You know, you're trying to go back to something that you know isn't going to justify you. So we can't boast about that either.
Oh, right.
Wow. Paul Wilbur's back.
Another break.
Whew.
Already.
And speaking of Facebook, we're also on Facebook.
Yes,
you can
are.
Search for Gift of Grace.
I hope you're putting good posts on Facebook.
Yeah, put something good in there. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace and The Word 1220. Boy, we're in the last segment of the show already.
I know.
Number eight fast. In the series. But I think this is good.
Closing in on number nine.
Well, I don't know.
How many more notes do you got? Because usually you only get through like one or two.
We want to try to wrap this up by Christmas. Are we doing Advent shows yet? No, no. Anyway.
Not yet.
We only have about 7 or 8 minutes yet. So why don't, Steve, why don't you go ahead and do the next section?
Well, as you were talking, as we've been talking, you know, something that has, as the Lord's placed it on my heart, is from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. As to the extraordinary revelations, in order that I might not become conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan, to beat me and keep me from getting proud. 3 times I begged the Lord that this might leave me, and he said to me, "My grace is enough for you, for in weakness power reaches perfection." And so I willingly boast of my weakness instead, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with mistreatment, with distress, with persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am powerless, it is then that I am strong.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know, as we're talking about how Paul just emptied himself, he calls himself a bondservant, yeah, a slave for Christ. He puts himself at the lowest point of civilization in his time as a slave. He comes to the place where he's content with all this because he knows that it's the power of God that's coming, that is the message, that is what's seen, and not himself.
Yes.
Because, you know, he would say, "I come in fear and trembling, not to preach with eloquence of, you know, human wisdom, but that the power of God may be proclaimed."
Yeah.
That the cross may be, so that the message of the cross, the power of the cross, is not emptied of itself. And he now boasts of his weaknesses,
yes,
instead of the things that he was,
right,
you know.
Right. He was very strong before.
Yeah.
When he was the law guy, he was very strong.
Yeah.
When he was holding the cloaks while they were killing Stephen, he was a very strong guy.
Yeah, when he was persecuting the church, he was very strong. Yeah. Strong as a human.
Now he's boasting about weakness.
Yeah.
And we always talk about in our teachings how God uses us for his purposes, even though we're weak and we're sinners and we don't really, you know, he doesn't just use holy people, and with all our faults, we're still used. And this is a good example of that too, because it's to prevent Paul from becoming proud. Because anyone, Paul's a human being just like we are.
Right.
After a while, Paul could have walked around saying, "Well, you know what? I'm Paul.
As a Pharisee, Jesus showed me all this stuff.
Yeah. I got all the stuff.
Look what
I'm writing all this stuff down, and I'm setting up these churches, and I'm teaching everybody. Anybody have any questions?" I'm the main guy here.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's got a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it is.
But he begs the Lord.
Yes, but it keeps him weak. It keeps him humble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so he's stronger and he's used more. And this kind of goes into what I was going to do next too, but in Galatians 2, 20 to 21, do you have that handy? Or?
Galatians 2, 20 to 21? Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
"Yet I live no longer, I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing."
Oof.
Wow.
So Paul's renounced all the stuff that has to do with the law. He says, if you could be justified by the law, then Christ died for nothing. Like I always say, if there's 58 different ways to go to heaven, then Jesus was mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fool. To go through that horrible experience would not have been necessary.
Right.
If you could be saved somehow by hanging out with the Krishna people or being a Buddhist or hanging out with Muhammad, then Jesus was a fool.
Right.
But so Paul's saying, if you can be righteous by following the law, then Christ died in vain. Because remember, Paul says, the righteousness I have comes from him.
Right.
So he says, I don't even live anymore. He lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's, the old man is gone.
Right. I'm
no, you know, he wasn't there advancing in the law anymore. He wasn't trying to get to a higher position in the Pharisee ranks. He had kind of renounced all that stuff. And he says, you know, it's not even him that lives anymore. but it's Christ who lives in him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is radical.
And he understands that love fulfills the law. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 is such a powerful passage that he writes, that if I speak in human and angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And he goes on that love never fails. You know, love endures all things, hopes all things, and it's going to remain.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to wonder, when he was standing there holding the cloak of Stephen, you know, the coats, and Stephen was being stoned, and now he has this revelation through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a the transforming grace that it was there for him to receive, to recognize that, wow, I didn't have any love in my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I preach the cross and only the cross. And if I don't, you know, act in accordance with the cross, which is love,
mm-hmm.
I'm nothing.
That's right.
I'm just a bunch of noise if I talk about all this other stuff.
That's right. And wow, with the minute or so we have left, maybe not even, I just want to end this with one of our favorite passages, and it will remind us of a Paul Wilbur song. And the prophet Zephaniah, who I might add was a minor prophet, but in chapter 3, you know, he says, the Lord has taken your punishment, destroyed your enemies. This is unimaginable in the old covenant. Because in a covenant of law, it's unimaginable that the Lord would take your punishment. Because you take the punishment when you don't follow the law. So he's destroyed your enemies. And, you know, Paul writes, our last enemy is death. That's what we're most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's talking about not only physical death, but he's talking about the second death.
Right.
When you get thrown into the lake of fire, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that enemy is destroyed by the cross.
Amen.
Whew. I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back again next week.
And we pray that the power of the cross would just lead you into the salvation that is offered to you in the kingdom of God. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.